Witch, kill the witch. In the flame-lit hall, their shadows distorted on walls, dark and crooked, then trailed away, like magic. Panic chilled Agatha's blood. She had to get to the school for evil before Tedros and his army. But what could she do to save them? Only when your nemesis is dead will you feel quenched, Lady Lesso had said. Tears seared Agatha's eyes, the grief of a decision already made. Give herself to Sophie, and no one else would die. Let the witch win. It was the only happy ending left. With a primal scream, she punched and kicked the door, then rammed the sugar plum desk against it, but the candy didn't break. She hurled chairs into the bruleed walls, stomped on the treacle floors, but there was only one way out of this room. Dripping sweat, Agatha looked through the window. Her black clump found the ledge as she straddled the sill in her billowing blue gown. As the frigid night wind lashed her face, she pulled her other leg through and grabbed onto a vine of gold lights the fairies had draped across the tower for the ball. With a desperate pull, she swung herself onto the narrow ridge and spun around. She was so high above Halfway Bridge that the frozen teachers on it looked like beetles. The brutal wind flayed her ears and made her shiver so hard she almost slipped. Through the glass breezeway, she could see torches flooding down Honor Tower towards the tunnel of trees. She only had a few minutes before good would storm right into evil's hands. With chapped fists, Agatha tugged on the lights above her and saw they were strung tight. She squinted at the crisscross of fairy-lit vines spilling down the tower, a glowing road to take her to the bridge. "Please be strong enough," Agatha prayed. She grabbed the vine, jumped off the ledge, and heard it snap. Her body plunged, slammed into a glass ledge, and just before she careened off, something whizzed by and landed an inch from her cheek. Agatha grabbed onto it as the vine collapsed, then saw what it was. An arrow. Dangling from it, she looked back in shock, just in time to see an arrow miss her other cheek. More arrows came flying out of darkness, aimed right for her. As their steel tips grazed her again and again, Agatha closed her eyes and waited for the lethal shot of pain. The whizzing stopped. Agatha opened her eyes. Arrows rested in a haphazard foot ladder all the way down the tower wall. She didn't question who was trying to kill her or her spell of luck. She just climbed down the arrows as fast as she could, to Halfway Bridge, and wove through petrified teachers, hands thrust out for a barrier that never came. As Tedros's army arrived at the clearing to find good's and evil's tunnels magically entwined and impassable, far away, Agatha crossed safely into the villain's lair. High over her, in Malice's window, Grimm sheathed his bow. "And didn't harm a hair on her head," Sophie said, caressing him, "much as you would have liked." Grimm grumbled obediently as Sophie peered out at Tedros's army marching around the moat, then down at Agatha, vanishing into evil all alone. "Won't be long now," she said. She swept aside the clumps of white hair on her desk and continued to sew, a puppet master gleefully pulling strings. Agatha had expected to be captured the moment she entered evil, but as she crept through the leaky foyer, she saw there were no guards, no booby traps, no symptoms of war. The school for evil was unsettlingly quiet, except for iron doors creaking open and shut at the rear of the stair room. She peeked inside them and found the Theatre of Tales pristine and restored, with one difference. Where the front of the stone stage once depicted a phoenix rising from ashes, now it had a new scene. A screaming witch surrounded by ravens. Shuddering, Agatha crept up the steps towards Evil Hall. But dear Nevers will have our revenge. What would Sophie make the Nevers do to her? She thought of all the worst villains she'd found in fairy tales. Turn her to stone, parade her severed head, cook her in mince pie. Though it was freezing cold, Agatha felt her cheeks perspire as she turned the corner. Roll her in a barrel of nails, cut out her heart, fill her stomach with rocks. Sweat mixed with tears as she looked down at hundreds of footprints. Burn her, stone her, stab her. She broke into a run and charged towards torture and death, wishing that someday she and Sophie would find each other in a different world, a world without princes, a world without pain, and with a terrified cry, threw herself through skull-carved doors. She lost her breath. Evil Hall had been transformed into a magnificent ballroom, glittering with green tinsel, black balloons, thousands of green-flamed candles, and a spinning chandelier streaking wall murals with emerald bursts of light. Around a towering ice sculpture of two entwined snakes, Hort and Dot stumbled through a waltz. Anadil wrapped her arms around Vex, Brone tried not to step on Mona's green feet. And Hester and Ruvan swayed and whispered as more villainous couples waltzed around them. Ruvan's bunkmates picked up the music on reed violins, and more pairs flooded onto the floor, clumsy, bashful, but aglow with happiness, dancing beneath a spangled banner. The first annual villains' No Ball. Agatha began to cry. The music stopped. She wiped her eyes to see Nevers staring at her. Couples broke apart, faces reddened with shame.
"What is she doing here?"
Vex spat.
"She'll tell the Evers," Mona said.
"Get her!"
Arachne cried.
"I'll handle this," said a voice.
Hester stepped through the crowd. Agatha reeled back. "Hester, listen."
"This is a villain's party, Agatha," Hester said, skulking towards her. "And you're not a villain."
Agatha cowered against the wall. "Wait, don't—"
"I'm afraid there's only one thing to do," said Hester,
shadow swelling over her face. Agatha shielded her face.
"Die?"
"Stay," Hester said.
Agatha stared at her. So did the Nevers.
Vex pointed,
But she's—" "Welcome as my guest," Hester said. "Unlike snowballs, no balls have no rules."
Agatha shook her head, finding tears instead of words. Hester touched her shoulder.
"This is how we found the hall," she said, voice breaking. "I think she wanted us to have what she couldn't. Maybe it's her way of saying sorry."
Agatha burst into sobs. "I'm sorry, too."
"I threw you in a sewer," Hester sniffled. "We've all made mistakes. But we'll all fix them, won't we? Both schools together."
Agatha was crying so hard her body shook. Hester tensed.
"What is it?"
"I tried," Agatha wept. "I tried to stop them."
"Stop who?"
"Kill the Vills. Nevers die." Slowly Hester turned. "Kill the Vills. Nevers die." Nevers massed to the giant windows and looked out into the night. Down the steep hill, the good army marched around the moat, weapons glinting in torchlight. The glow in the villains' faces died, and they shrank back into their shells. Wind swept through the windows and snuffed the candles, leaving the hall dark and cold.
"So, you come to warn us, and your prince comes to kill us," said Hester, gazing at the ferocious mob. "So much for love."
"You don't have to fight them," Agatha pressed. "Let them see what I have." Hester turned, eyes on fire.
"And let them laugh at us. Let them remind us what we are. Ugly, unworthy, losers."
"That's not what you are." But Hester had returned to the dangerous girl she once knew.
"You know nothing about us," she snarled.
"We're all the same, Hester," Agatha begged. Let them see the truth. It's the only way.
Yes, Hester said quietly. There is only one way. She bared her teeth. Free the witch.
No, Agatha cried. It's what she wants.
Hester sneered. And remind our princess what happens when fair maidens go where they don't belong.
Agatha screamed as the shadows of villains overwhelmed her. High above in a rotted tower, a mob of 50 Nevers shoved aside the last furniture and ripped out the final nail of room 66. With a savage roar, they kicked down its door and recoiled in shock. A shriveled, hideous hag looked back at them, in a luscious pink ball gown. She rubbed her gleaming bald head and flashed her blackened gums.
Let me guess, Sophie smiled. Our party has unexpected guests.
Chapter 29 Beautiful Evil. Agatha's eyes flashed open to a shock of glacial cold. She was on her back, sealed in a frosted glass coffin. Dozens of blurry silhouettes loomed over her. Panicked, she lurched up, but her body was frozen. It wasn't glass. It was ice. She tried to inhale more air, but gagged. Her eyes bulged, her cheeks went blue. Then the dark shadows parted, and a pink spectre floated through. With her tongue, Agatha breathlessly wiped frost clear. Sophie, bald and grotesque, smiled down at her, a doom room axe in her hands. As Agatha took her dying breaths, her eyes pleaded for mercy. Sophie gazed at her through ice, ran her fingers over Agatha's entombed face, and raised the axe. Somewhere Hester screamed. The axe smashed through ice, shattering the tomb, and stopped a hair from Agatha's face. She plunged to wet floor, heaving for breath.
Freezing a poor princess, Sophie sighed. That's no way to treat a guest, Hester.
The arrows. It was you, Agatha stammered, crawling back. You brought me here to kill me.
Kill you? Sophie looked hurt. You think I can kill you?
Across the room, Agatha saw Hester huddled with Anadil and Dot, gawking at their once roommate, now a bald, shriveled hag.
Truth is, I want to hurt you, Agatha, Sophie said, melting the axe away with a glowing finger. But I just can't.
She studied her rotted face in a balloon.
My behavior last night was poor.
Poor? Agatha coughed. You pushed me through a window.
Wouldn't you have done the same?
Sophie said, peering at Agatha's blue gown in the balloon.
If I took everything that was yours?
Sophie turned, pink gown glimmering.
But this is your fairy tale, Agatha, and either we end it as enemies, or we end it as friends.
Friends? Agatha sputtered. The schoolmaster said it was impossible, and perhaps both of us thought him right, Sophie said, skin crackling around warts.
But how could he ever understand us?
Agatha recoiled in disgust. Sophie nodded.
I'm ugly now, she agreed softly. But I can be happy here, Agatha. I really can. We're where we belong. You're good. I'm evil.
Her eyes drifted around the decorated hall.
But evil can be beautiful, can't it?
Torchlight flooded the windows.
Sophie, Evers at the gates,
Anadil shouted, looking out. Revenge, Agatha said, quivering. You said you wanted revenge.
How else to lure good here, Agatha?
Sophie said sadly.
How else to show them all we wanted was a ball of our own?
Sophie, they're coming, Dot screamed. Beneath their feet, Evers rammed the castle doors.
But now we'll end all of this, won't we? Sophie said, drawing a gnarled fist from her dress pocket. Agatha's eyes widened. Something was in her hand. She's upstairs! The Evers had broken in.
Agatha?
Sophie said, prowling towards her, fist tight.
Kill the witch!
Evers cried, storming up the stairs. Sophie reached out her spotted fist.
My friend? My nemesis?
Agatha cringed. Sophie unfurled her bare palm and sank to one knee.
Will you dance with me?
Agatha lost her breath. Boom! Evers bashed the hall doors.
Sophie, what are you doing?
Hester screamed. Sophie held out her withered hand to Agatha.
We'll show them it's over.
The doors splintered.
One dance. For peace.
Sophie vowed.
Sophie, they'll kill us all,
Hester shrieked. Sophie kept her hand out.
One dance for a happy ending, Aggie.
Paralyzed, Agatha looked at her as the door locks shattered. Sophie's warts gleamed with tears.
One dance to save my life?
On three,
Tedros roared outside. Sophie gazed up at Agatha with wide, coal eyes.
It's me, Aggie. Can't you see?
Shivering, Agatha searched her ugly face.
One!
Agatha, please.
Agatha stepped back, terrified.
Please!
Sophie begged, face cracking.
Don't let me die, a villain!
Agatha shrank away from her. You're evil.
And the good forgive.
Agatha froze.
Aren't you good?
Sophie breathed.
Two!
With a gasp, Agatha clasped her hand. Sophie wrapped bony arms around her and pulled her in a gliding waltz across the floor. At Hester's frantic cue, Ruven's bunkmate struck up a wobbly love song.
You are good.
Sophie panted, head on Agatha's shoulder. I won't let them hurt you, Agatha whispered, holding Sophie tight. Sophie touched her cheek.
I wish I could say the same.
Agatha looked at her. Sophie smiled darkly.
Three!
Tedros smashed through the doors at the charge of his mob and, with a beastly cry, raised his sword over Sophie's back.
Death to the witch!
Then he saw the waltz in full bloom. Sophie twirled to him, Agatha in her arms. Tedros dropped his sword.
Poor Teddy,
Sophie said, silencing the music.
Every time he finds his princess, turns out she's a witch.
Tedros looked at Agatha, stunned.
You're with her?
She's lying! Agatha screamed, flailing to break Sophie's grip.
How do you think she survived her fall? Why do you think she tried to stop your attack?
Sophie said, hugging her tighter.
Yes, Teddy, I'm afraid your ball date is also mine.
Tedros followed Sophie's eyes to the banner over the hall. Evers bleached behind him.
Don't listen to her, Agatha shrieked. It's a trap.
Agatha, it's okay, darling. You can tell him,
Sophie said. She turned to Tedros, exasperated.
She wanted to wait until she had a sword to your throat.
Tedros looked at Agatha, eyes wide.
It isn't true, she cried. I have proof,
she swiveled.
Hester, Dot, tell them.
But Hester, Dot, and the rest of the Nevers were glaring at the good army, wielding deadly weapons for a massacre. Hester looked back at Agatha and said nothing. Agatha saw the light in her prince's eyes dim. Behind him, armed Evers turned their weapons from Sophie to her.
No, wait!
She broke free and fell into Tedros's arms.
You have to believe me, I'm on your side.
Really?
Sophie mused.
Then how is it that your prince locked you in one tower, and here you are, in another.
Agatha felt Tedros's arms harden. She looked up to his bloodless face. Answer her, he said.
I came to help you. I climbed down...
Climbed, Sophie cackled. Down that tower.
Tedros followed her eyes to the sky-high spires of Good.
There were arrows, Agatha stuttered.
I don't know why she's being so bashful, Sophie said, scratching her head. She came up with every step. The pranks on Good, your meeting in the woods, the circus attack. All part of Agatha's master plan to make you think she was Good. Oh, except for that lovely new smile. That was all black magic.
Agatha couldn't breathe.
Only the best evil can disguise as good, Sophie said, glaring at her. Agatha's even better at it than I.
Eyes wide, Tedros pulled away from Agatha.
Princesses wouldn't question my authority, he said, glowing red.
Teddy, wait, Agatha begged.
Princesses wouldn't question if I was a man.
Look what she's doing to you.
I knew you were a witch, he said, voice cracking. I knew it all along.
Don't you trust me? Agatha wept.
My mother asked my father the same question, Tedros said, battling tears. But I won't make his mistake.
His eyes darted to Excalibur between him and her. The prince lunged for it, but Agatha grabbed the sword first and leapt to her feet, thrusting out. Evers pulled weapons in horror.
See? Sophie grinned. Sword to throat.
Agatha looked at her, then at Tedros. Staring at his own sword in his face, she dropped it.
No, I was just... I didn't mean to...
Tedros swelled with blood.
Prepare to attack.
Agatha backed up. Tedros, listen to me. Tedros grabbed Chadwick's bow.
Tedros, wait.
I'm worse than my father.
Tedros looked up, eyes glistening.
Because I still love you.
He pulled an arrow at her heart.
No,
Agatha screamed.
Fire!
Evers launched stones, darts, oil at the defenseless Nevers as Tedros unleashed his arrow for Agatha. Sophie flicked her lit finger just as it speared her chest. The weapons all turned to daisies and floated to the ground. Cowering Nevers looked up, stunned to be alive. Hunched amid them, Agatha slowly turned.
Learned that from my favorite princess, Sophie said softly.
Agatha crumpled to the ground in sobs. Tedros glanced between them, dread flooding his face. Sophie unleashed a devilish smile.
Never very good at those challenges, were you, Teddy?
No.
Tedros fell to his knees, grabbed weeping Agatha in his arms. She pushed him away.
Now that's an ending. Prince tries to kill his princess, Sophie reveled.
She picked up the daisy meant for Agatha's heart and gave it a rapturous sniff.
Lucky evil was here to save the day.
From the floor, Tedros gazed up at her, heartbroken.
Which begs the question, of course.
Sophie licked rotting lips.
What happens when evil becomes good?
This time when she smiled, Tedros saw gleaming white teeth. He backed up in shock. In front of his eyes, Sophie's warts magically sloughed. Her deep wrinkles smoothed until her creamy peach skin glowed with youth. Her hair blossomed out of her shiny skull in a cascade of blonde ringlets, and her lips thickened with juicy sheen. Agatha slowly peeked through her hands to see Sophie's eyes blaze emerald green, her shriveled body bloom until the grand villainess loomed over her in her pink ball gown, more radiant and ravishing than ever before.
Leave now,
Agatha warned, but the Evers were all paralyzed, staring past Sophie. Cringing, Agatha turned. Hester looked back at her, dress now pink. Magically, her thin hair sprouted to long, thick tresses, her sallow face gained fullness, her tattoo restored to magnificent red. Next to her, Anadil's white hair went chestnut brown, her red eyes sea green, while Dot's rotund body grew hourglass curves. In reflective balloons, Hort watched his jaw square, his chin dimple, his dumpy black robes melt to a blue Everboy coat. Ruvan saw his oily skin clear. Brone lifted his shirt to see rippling muscles. Arachne ran fingers over two new eyes. Mona touched smooth ivory skin, until all around, transformed villains gaped at each other in goods uniforms. Sophie grinned down at Agatha.
I told you evil can be beautiful, didn't I?
Retreat! Tedros yelled, backing into his army.
We're not finished, Teddy, Sophie thundered. You and your army invaded a ball. You and your army attacked a defenseless school. You and your army tried to kill a room of poor students trying to enjoy the happiest night of our lives. Which leaves another question.
Retreat now, Tedros cried.
What happens when good becomes evil?
Screams exploded behind Tedros. Agatha swiveled to see Beatrix screech with pain as her back hunched with a crack. Then her hair went white, her face pockmarked to an old crone's, and her pink dress sagged to black over shriveled bones. Behind her, all the Evers' gowns and suits slowly rotted to Evil's black smocks. Chadwick grew metal spikes all over his body. Millicent sobbed as her skin turned green. Rena shrieked and itched at her scab-covered cheeks. Nicholas staggered around one-eyed and humped. One by one, the Evers who attacked the villains all turned ugly. Agatha the only one immune from punishment. Until at last, Sophie leered back at Tedros. Bald, scrawny, hideously scarred, in front of his army of villains.
All hail the prince, she cackled.
Beautiful Nevers pointed at the ugly Evers and joined her in a chorus of triumphant laughter, annihilating a legacy of defeat. Agatha grabbed a fallen sword and pointed it at Sophie. Your war is with me. Let them go in peace.
By all means, darling, Sophie smiled. The doors are open.
The repulsive Evers flooded for them, all except shriveled, scraggy Tedros, now blocking their way.
Please, Teddy, end this war, Agatha pleaded. I can't leave you, the prince croaked.
Agatha looked into his sad, beastly eyes. This time you have to trust me. Tedros shook his head, too ashamed to fight.
Retreat, he choked to his school. Retreat now!
With an anguished cry, he led the monstrous Evers for the doors. The doors slammed in their faces.
All of you should really learn your rules, Sophie sighed.
Tedros and his army turned, trembling.
The evil attack, the good defend, Sophie said. You attacked, she smiled. Now we defend.
She sang three high notes. Agatha suddenly heard grunting outside, louder, louder, until her eyes bulged with recognition.
Run! She screamed.
The doors burst open, and three colossal rats smashed into Tedros's paralyzed army, grim at their reins. The snarling, shrieking rats, big as horses, bucked fleeing Evers into walls, knocked them downstairs, hurled them through the glass window into the moat below. Before Valor boys could draw their swords, the rats trampled them like toy soldiers.
And here I thought my talents would go unnoticed, Anadil said to Dot, gobsmacked.
A thorn dart whizzed between them. The girls turned to see Tedros and ugly Evers frantically grab weapons.
Fire!
Tedros howled. Dot dove from a hail of arrows as beautiful Nevers fought back with curses, and the two schools clashed in weapon-to-spell combat. as darts flew, swords deflected lightning, and fingers on both sides lit up with colours, the rats ripped free from Grimm's reins, flinging Ava into a chandelier, gashing a bite into Nicholas's back. Grimm swiftly took flight and hunted Agatha through the hall with flame-tipped arrows. She sprang behind a pillar, pointed her glowing finger just as he let one fly. The arrow turned to a flytrap and snapped on yowling Grimm's hand. Agatha swiveled to see hideous Beatrix, Rena, and Millicent quailing next to her.
"If you can turn arrows to flowers," Beatrix said tearfully, "can you turn us pretty again too?"
Agatha ignored her and peeked from behind the pillar into the roaring carnage. Coloured spells rocketed between the two sides, littering the floors with stunned bodies. Against the window, two rats cornered gaunt Tedros and his shivering mates, flashing razor-sharp teeth. Agatha whipped to the girls. "We have to help them."
"There's no point," Millicent mewled. "Look at us," said Rena. "We have nothing to fight for,"
Beatrix sniffled. "You have good to fight for," Agatha cried as rats devoured the boys' weapons. "It doesn't matter how you look."
"Easy for you to say," said Beatrix. "You're still pretty."
"Our towers aren't fair and lovely," Agatha lambasted. "They're valor and honor. That's what good is, you stupid cowards." They gaped dumbly as Agatha surged into battle, dashing to save the boys from the rats. Something slammed into her and flung her into a wall. Dazed, Agatha looked up to see Sophie astride the biggest rat of all, charging for her again. Agatha tried to find a spell too late. Beatrix jumped in front of the rat and thrust out her hand. Magical rain burst from the ceiling, soaking the floor. The rat slipped, careened into attacking Nevers, and Sophie crashed to the floor.
"Another thing about good," Beatrix smiled at Agatha, with Rena and Millicent by her sides. "We need each other."
Sophie looked up to see the Evers finding their courage to beat back the toppled Nevers. Chadwick used his body spikes to ram a rat through the heart. Tedros scaled another's tail to stab its neck, while the Evers bound the cowering Nevers with their black tunics and belts. Suddenly, her own hands and feet were bound magically with vines. "You forget we're in a fairy tale," a voice said behind her. Struggling, Sophie turned to Agatha standing over her, finger glowing. "In the end, good always wins," Agatha said. Sophie slackened against her binds.
"And so it does," she said, gazing back at Agatha.
Then Agatha saw Sophie wasn't looking at her at all. She was staring past her, at the hall's last mural. Painted masses kneeled before the Storian, glowing in the schoolmaster's hands like a star. A wicked smile crept across Sophie's face.
"Unless I write the ending myself."
She stabbed her glowing finger, and the rain puddles on the floor instantly deepened, knocking Agatha and both armies off their feet. The students treaded water, trying to keep their heads above it, but the water rose higher, higher in a ceiling-high sea, until they were all about to drown. Cheeks puffed, turning blue, they spun to Sophie, blocking the shattered window with her bound body. She smirked impishly, and then let herself fall through. The flood blasted through the window, and 200 students cascaded out of the tower into freezing midnight air and splashed to the moat below. Instantly, the war resumed in the putrid sludge, but with faces and clothes covered in it, the students couldn't see each other in the weak dawn light. Hester shoved Anadil's face in slime, thinking her an ever. Beatrix punched Rena in the jaw, thinking her a never. Chadwick suffocated the closest thing to him, Tedros, it turned out, who responded by sinking his rotted teeth into his best mate's neck. With rules broken so rampantly, the students began to change from pink to black, black to blue, ugly to beautiful, beautiful to ugly, back and forth, faster, faster, until no one had the faintest idea who was good and who was evil. None of the foes noticed that far into the bay, a girl in pink, climbed the schoolmaster's tower, brick by brick, pulling herself up by Grimm's arrows, and that far beneath, a prince climbed after her, silhouetted in moonlight. Upon closer look, a prince of raven hair, iron will, dodging a cupid's arrows in a billowing blue gown. Upon closer look, not a prince at all. Chapter 30. Never After. Clawing through the silver brick window, Sophie gritted her teeth. Good always wins. Her nemesis was right. As long as the schoolmaster lived, as long as the Storian was in his hands, then she would never achieve vengeance. There was only one way to ruin Agatha's happy ending. Destroy both Pen and its protector. With a snarl, Sophie pulled herself into the schoolmaster's tower, flung out her glowing finger. It dimmed. The empty stone chamber was aglow with hundreds of red-flamed candles lining the edges of the bookcases and shelves. Red rose petals swathed the stone floor under her feet. Strums of a phantom harp softly swelled into a tender song. Sophie scowled. She had come for a war and found a wedding. Good was even more pathetic than she thought. Then she saw the Storian. Across the room, it hovered, unguarded over her and Agatha's fairy tale book on the shadowed stone table. Through falling petals and flickering candles, Sophie skulked towards the deadly sharp pen. As she neared, the pen's script smoldered against steel. Eyes blazing, breath shallow, she reached to seize it, but the pen lurched and lanced her finger. Sophie withdrew in shock. A single drop of her blood dripped down the Storian, filling the grooves in the deep script, before trickling to its lethal nib. Alive to its new ink, the pen burned, hot red, and plunged to the book, furiously flipping pages. Her whole fairy tale unfolded before her eyes in dazzling paintings and flashes of words, citing Tedros at the welcoming, cowering from her prince at the trial, witnessing him propose to Agatha, luring Good's army to war, even climbing by arrows to this very tower, until the Storian found a fresh page, and spilled blood outlines in a single sweep. Rich color magically filled them in, and Sophie watched a brilliant painting of herself take shape. There, in this tower, as she was now. Ravishing, in a pink ball gown, her painted self gazed into the eyes of a handsome stranger, tall, lean, in prime of youth and beauty. Sophie touched his face on the page, twinkling blue eyes, skin like marble, ghostly white hair. He wasn't a stranger. She had dreamt of him her last night in Gavaldon. The prince she picked from 100 at a castle ball. The one who felt like ever after.
All these years, I waited, said a warm voice.
She turned to see the masked schoolmaster glide towards her from across the room. Rusted crown crooked on his head of thick white hair. Slowly his body unsnarled from its hunch until it stood tall and erect. Then he took off his mask, revealing alabaster skin, chiseled cheeks, and dancing blue eyes. Sophie buckled. He was the prince from the painting.
You're young.
This was all a test, Sophie, the schoolmaster said. A test to find my true love.
Your true... me, Sophie stammered. But you're good, and I'm evil.
The schoolmaster smiled.
Perhaps we should start there.
Hanging high above the midpoint between moat and lake, Agatha climbed arrows stabbed in silver brick, dodging new blows as Grimm flew around the schoolmaster's spire. As the cupid pulled another arrow into his bow, she lunged for the next shaft, but it broke and tumbled off the tower. Her head swiveled. Grim flashed yellowed shark teeth, aimed his arrow at her face. He stiffened like a stunned bird and fell from the sky into dark waters below. Agatha spun and saw Hester's red finger glow dim in her direction, her body bound by chains in deep sludge. In moonlight, she could see Hester's face, filled with regret for spurning the chance to end this war. Around her, Evers had wrenched control of the battle. Villains struggled against their binds, restored to ugliness, while four Everboys pinned down Hort's howling man-wolf with punches and kicks. Agatha felt the last arrow splinter under her hand. "Help!" she puffed, legs kicking. The arrow broke and froze to hard ice, catching her grip. Agatha turned and saw Anadil's distant green finger glow pointed at the frozen arrow. Then above her head, the next silver brick turned dark brown. Agatha smelled rich, sugary sweetness, and her hand stretched up and dug right into taut chocolate. Pulling herself up by fudge, she glanced back across the bay. Dot's blue light glowed proudly. As the next brick above turned chocolate, Agatha reached up with a smile. It seemed the witches had changed sides.
"I was there all along," the schoolmaster said, cold, beautiful face smoldering in first rays of sun, "leading Agatha to you on the night I kidnapped you, ensuring you didn't fail in your first days at school, opening the doors at the circus, giving you a riddle whose answer would bring you to me. I interfered in your fairy tale because I knew how it must end."
"But that means you're..." Sophie fumbled. "You're evil?"
"I cared for my brother very much," the schoolmaster said tensely, peering at the school's raging war. "We were entrusted the Storian for eternity because our bond overrode our warring souls. As long as we protected each other, we would stay immortal and beautiful. Good and evil in perfect balance, each as worthy and powerful as the other." He turned. "But evil cannot be but alone."
"So you killed your own brother," Sophie said.
"Much as you tried to kill your dearest friend and beloved prince," the schoolmaster smiled. "But no matter how much I tried to control the Storian, good now emerged triumphant in every new tale."
He caressed the symbols on the pen's skin.
"Because there is something greater than the purest evil, Sophie. Something you and I cannot have."
At last, Sophie understood. Her fire cooled to grief. "Love," she said softly.
"It's why good wins every story," the schoolmaster said. "They fight for each other. We can only fight for ourselves. My only hope was to find something stronger, something that would give us a chance. I hunted every seer in the woods until one gave me my answer. One who told me that what I needed would come from beyond our world. And so I searched all these years, careful to keep the balance as my body and hope weakened. Until at last, you've come. The one that can tip the balance forever. The one more powerful than good's love."
He touched her cheek.
"Evil's love."
Sophie couldn't breathe, feeling his frigid fingers on her skin. The schoolmaster's lip curled into a smile.
"Seda knew you would come. A heart as dark as mine. An evil whose beauty could restore my own."
His hands moved to her waist.
"If we unite with each other to seal the bond of evil, if we marry for the purpose of hurting, destroying, punishing, then you and I finally have something to fight for."
The schoolmaster's breath glazed her ear.
"Never after."
Looking up at him, Sophie finally understood. He had her same maleficent coldness, the same pain raging in his eyes. Long before Tedros, her soul had known its true match,
Not a shining knight fighting for good. Not someone good at all. All these years she had tried to be someone else. She had made so many mistakes along the way. But at last, she had come home.
A kiss, the schoolmaster whispered. A kiss for never after.
Tears trickled down Sophie's cheeks. After all this, she would have her happy ending. She gave herself to the schoolmaster's grip, and he pulled her into his arms. As he clasped her neck, leaning in for her fairy tale kiss, Sophie gazed up tenderly at the prince of her dreams. But now, his face cracked at the edges. Charred flesh wormed through his luminous skin. Behind him, falling roses turned to maggots, and red candles lit up hellish shadows. Outside, the dawn sky fogged infernal green, and the good castle blackened to stone. As the schoolmaster's decaying lips touched hers, Sophie felt her vision blur red, her veins burn acid, her body rot to match his. Skin blistering, she held her prince's eyes, begging to feel love, the love that storybooks promised her, the love that would last an eternity. But all she found was hate. Devoured by a kiss, she saw at last she would never find love in this life or the next. She was evil, always evil, and there would never be happiness or peace. As her heart shattered with sadness, she yielded to darkness without a fight, only to hear a dying echo, somewhere deeper than soul. It's not what we are, Sophie. It's what we do. Sophie tore herself from the schoolmaster's grip, and he spilled back into the stone table, sending the Storian and storybook smashing into the wall. In the fallen Storian, she glimpsed her half-rotted face, split cleanly from forehead to chin. Breathless, she fled for the window, but there was no way down the tower. Through eerie green fog, she saw the far shore. Gone were the weapons, the spells, the two sides. The sludge pits overflowed with blackened bodies, children punching anyone in sight, slamming faces into muck, tearing at skin and hair, writhing and clawing for mercy. Sophie stared at this war she had started. Good and evil, fighting now for nothing at all.
What have I done? She breathed.
She turned to see the schoolmaster stir on the floor.
Please, Sophie begged. I want to be good.
The schoolmaster raised red-rimmed eyes, skin shriveling around his thin smile.
You can never be good, Sophie. That's why you're mine.
Slowly, he slithered towards her. Terrified, Sophie shrank against the window as he reached rotting hands to grab her. From behind, soft, warm arms suddenly wrapped her like an angel's and pulled her into the night sky.
Hold your breath,
Agatha cried as they fell. In tight embrace, the two girls smashed face first into crushing cold water. The glacial lake robbed their lungs, numbed every inch of skin. But still they didn't let go. Their entwined bodies plunged to arctic depths and kicked towards sunlight. But just as their hands stabbed for air, Agatha saw the black shadow ripping straight for them. With a silent scream, she thrust out her glowing finger, and a giant wave rose, swelling them away from the schoolmaster and crashing them to evil's barren shore. Agatha willed herself onto her knees in the moat and heard the screams of war around her, rabid, slime-drenched children without faces or names pummeling each other like beasts. Then, in the distance, a body rose from the sludge.
Sophie?
She croaked. The ooze sloughed away, and Agatha dove for the bank in horror. She glanced back to see the old, decayed schoolmaster calmly wade towards her, Storian in hand. Gurgling, she scraped over wrestling torsos for the shore, oily black hands clawing at her face, sludge sinking her like quicksand. Agatha turned to see the schoolmaster gliding through it,
unnoticed by his warring students. Gagging on muck, she pulled herself over the black mob into dead grass, lurched to her feet to run. The schoolmaster stood in front of her, flesh crumbling off naked skull.
"I expected more from a reader, Agatha," he said. "Surely you know what happens to those who thwart love."
Agatha flushed with fright. "You'll never have her, not as long as I'm alive." The schoolmaster's blue eyes filled with blood.
"And so it is written."
He raised the Storian like a dagger and hurled it at Agatha with a deafening scream. Trapped, Agatha closed her eyes. A body collided with hers and took her to the ground. Agatha's eyes opened. Sophie lay beside her, Storian speared through her heart. The schoolmaster let out a cry of shock. The war around them ceased. Bloodied students turned in stunned silence to see their rotted, malevolent leader frozen over the body of the witch who saved a princess's life. The body of one of their own. Sunken in sludge, Evers and Nevers' faces melted to terror and shame. They had betrayed each other and lost to the real enemy. In foolish vengeance, they had surrendered the balance they were entrusted to protect. But as eyes found the schoolmaster, their young faces hardened with purpose. Then all at once, the silver swan crests on both good and evil's uniforms turned blinding white and came alive, shrieking, flapping. Instantly the tiny birds ripped free, blasted into the twilit sky, and coalesced into a glittering silhouette. The schoolmaster's face drained of blood as he looked up at a luminous ghost, a familiar face of snowy hair, ivory cheeks, and warm blue eyes.
"You're a spirit, brother," the schoolmaster scowled. "You have no power without a body."
"Yet," said a voice. He turned to see Professor Seder limp from the woods, through the school gates, bloodied by thorns. Trembling, Seder gazed up at the ghost in the sky.
"Please."
From the sky, the good brother dove and smashed into Seder's willing body. Seder shivered, hazel eyes wide, then slumped to his knees, eyes closed. Slowly, his eyes opened, sparkling blue. The schoolmaster backed up in surprise, the skin of Seder's arms softened to white feathers, shredding his green suit away. Terrified, the schoolmaster turned into a shadow, fled across dead grass towards the lake, but Seder flew into the air after him, human arms now giant white swan wings, and swerved down and snatched the shadow in his beak. With a searing bird's screech, he tore it apart, raining black feathers over the battleground below. From the sky, Seder looked down at Sophie in Agatha's arms, tears welling in big hazel eyes at the first and last thing he would ever see. Then, his sacrifice done, he dissipated to gold dust and was gone. Faculty stormed from the castles, freed from the schoolmaster's curse. Professor Dovey stopped short first, then others behind her. Lady Lesso's jaw quivered as Clarissa gripped her hand. Professor Anemone, Professor Sheiks, Professor Manley, Princess Uma all had the same scared, powerless faces. Even Castor and Pollux couldn't be told apart. All bowed their heads in mourning, knowing that they were too late for even the mercy of magic. In front of them, the children gathered around Sophie, dying in Agatha's arms. Agatha tried in vain to staunch the wound, a mess of tears. Tedros dove beside them.
"Let me help," he said, taking Sophie in his arms.
"No," Sophie wheezed. "Agatha." Speechless, Tedros left her to his princess's arms. Agatha pressed Sophie to her chest, hands soaked with her blood. "You're safe now," Agatha said softly.
"I don't want to be evil," Sophie panted through sobs.
"You're not evil, Sophie,"
Agatha whispered, touching her decayed cheek. You're human. Sophie smiled weakly.
Only if I have you.
Her eyes flickered with life.
No, not yet.
Sophie struggled.
Sophie, Sophie, please, Agatha choked. Agatha.
Sophie exhaled her last breath.
I love you.
Wait, Agatha screamed. Icy wind snuffed the last of the torches, and the blackened good castle vanished behind dark fog. Sobbing, shaking, Agatha kissed Sophie's cold lips. Black feathers shivered on the dead ground between the children's feet. As they stared in horror, Agatha lay her head on Sophie's silent heart and wept into terrible silence. Beside their two bodies, the cold, bloody Storian dulled to grey, its work finally done. As the teachers took children into their arms, Agatha stayed holding the body, knowing she had to let go, but she couldn't. Cheek wet with Sophie's blood, she listened to the sobs rise around her, the wind rake through war-torn sludge, her shallow breaths wither against a corpse. And the beat of a heart. Color returned to Sophie's lips. Glow warmed her skin. Blood faded from her chest. Her skin restored to its beautiful whole, and with a shocked breath, her eyes opened, emerald clear. Sophie? Agatha whispered. Sophie touched her face and smiled. Who needs princes in our fairy tale? Sun exploded through fog, coating the two castles in gold. As the grass around it greened, the Storian blazed with new life and soared back to its tower in the sky. Across the shores, children's robes, black, pink, blue, melted to the same silver, dissolving their division once and for all. But as jubilant students and teachers descended on the girls, they suddenly retreated. Sophie and Agatha had started to shimmer, and within seconds, their bodies turned translucent. They spun to each other, for in the wind, the two heard what the others couldn't. 10 tolls of a town clock. Closer. Closer. Sophie's eyes twinkled. A princess and a witch. Friends, Agatha gasped. She whirled to Tedros. With a cry, her prince seized for her. Wait! Light slipped through his fingers. They were gone. This is Polly Lee. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The School for Good and Evil by Soman Chainani. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2013 by Soman Chainani. Production copyright 2013 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.